when the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention issued a moratorium on evictions, it warned that rising homelessness could make the pandemic worse. It's not an abstract worry. In cities like Milwaukee, landlords have filed for thousands of evictions since March. WPR's Bram Sable-Smith explains that catching the coronavirus is just one of the many health risks that come with losing your home.
Even before Robert Pettigrew learned he might get evicted, his doctor gave him some bad news.
She said, "Robert, I want to talk to you and your wife." She took us to another room and she said, "You have an invasive mass on your lung."
It was March. The doctor advised Pettigrew to leave his job staffing the front desk at a Motel 6 in Milwaukee. She even wrote him a doctor's note saying his lung condition put him at high risk of developing deadly complications from COVID-19.
Working at a motel is kind of hard to social distance. You know, people are in your face all times.
Now, being out of work has put Pettigrew's housing in jeopardy. The housing he needs to social distance. The home where he can rest and recover if doctors determine he needs lung surgery. In August, Pettigrew's landlord filed to evict him and his wife when they couldn't make rent. Complicating things further, Pettigrew's apartment has gotten fuller since his diagnosis. His daughter arrived in May from St. Louis after the daycare where she worked shut down. She brought her 3-year-old son with her.
This is my grandson. Say hi.
For millions of Americans like the Pettigrews, a home is a hard thing to hold on to right now. The CDC's eviction moratorium, announced earlier this month, explicitly tries to avoid housing instability. The idea is that family members should not be doubling up in housing or moving into homeless shelters right now. Emily Benfer of Wake Forest University researches the link between housing and health.
These are all settings where you increase your contact with other people, and by virtue of that, you increase your risk of contracting COVID-19 and spreading that virus.
Benfer says a growing body of research also links housing insecurity to other poor health outcomes, depression, delayed childhood development, and other respiratory diseases, to name a few. And the health problems can crop up even before families lose their home.
Overwhelming data demonstrates the link between the threat of eviction and anxiety and depression and stress.
Benfer says the eviction moratorium is a good first step, but without additional funds for rental assistance, the order merely stalls America's eviction crisis rather than solve it. States have directed hundreds of millions of federal stimulus dollars into housing aid, but it's not enough. One estimate suggests Americans are over $21 billion behind in rent payments right now. Then there are the Americans who have already dealt with losing their homes, like Nicole McMillan. She was laid off in March from her job managing vacation rentals in Fort Myers, Florida. Soon after, she also lost her apartment where she lived with her 2 children.
I actually contacted a doctor because I thought, mentally, I can't handle this anymore. I don't know what I'm going to do or where I'm going to go.
But that doctor was not taking new patients. Her children are living with their fathers right now while McMillan gets back on her feet. In Milwaukee, Robert Pettigrew started working odd jobs like mowing yards or cleaning cars, work that limits his exposure to the virus, but it only brings in enough money for food. Then in August, he had a job cleaning some store windows when he saw a sign taped inside, a paper sign offering rental assistance.
The good Lord put me where I needed to be.
A local nonprofit paid its landlord directly for rent through September. He's thankful for the help, but he doesn't want pity. Life, he says, just kicks you in the butt sometimes.
But I'm the type of person, I'm going to kick life ass back.
The CDC's moratorium could help someone like Pettigrew stay in their home through December, but it's not automatic. Renters have to submit a form to their landlords, and starting in January, they may still be on the hook for all the rent payments they missed or face eviction again. Bram Sable-Smith, Wisconsin Public Radio.
That story comes from a partnership between WPR and Wisconsin Watch. Now, teachers' unions across the state are calling on Department of Health Services Secretary Andrea Palm to mandate all classes shift from in-person teaching to virtual instruction as the number of COVID-19 cases continues to climb. According to the Wisconsin DHS, there were 2,887 new positive cases in the last day. This comes after a spike statewide last month, which saw multiple record-breaking increases. Our next guest joins us to talk about her union's demands for the rest of the school year. Amy Mizialko is the president of the Milwaukee Teachers Education Association. Amy, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you.
What exactly are you and your colleagues calling for from Department of Health Services Secretary Andrea Palm?
We are asking the Department of Health Services designee Andrea Palm to immediately order all Wisconsin K-12 schools, colleges, and universities to begin virtual instruction with no face-to-face instruction until community spread of the virus is contained, along with required gating criteria and plans that are feasible with necessary PPE and resources, plans that are confirmed by DHS, and that there is coordination between DHS and the local public health authority to conduct regular inspections.
So far, it's been left up to local districts, working in some cases with health authorities in their areas. Some districts have made the decision to go all virtual, some of the biggest districts. What's wrong with leaving it at the local level?
Well, we can see what's wrong with leaving it at the local level. You have exponential spread in the state of Wisconsin, and Wisconsin, the reddest of red, and number three in COVID cases per capita. It is 2 weeks ago today that Heidi Hoosley, the first public school teacher in Wisconsin to die from COVID-19. She was diagnosed, hospitalized, and died within 9 days. So this isn't something that individuals can just pass the buck on and throw their hands up and say that this is a local issue. This is something that has to be dealt with in a systemic way from government. And Governor Evers isn't doing enough. Governor Evers needs to instruct his Department of Health designee, Andrea Palm, to put out this order to close Wisconsin schools to face-to-face instruction so that we can keep students and educators safe, and frankly, so that we can stop contributing to unnecessary community spread.
What are you hearing from your colleagues around the state who might be in schools, maybe right now or teaching today, or who are worried about the prospect of going back if they're virtual now?
It is on the mind of every educator and, you know, certainly every family as well. Students are also worried. You saw, I'm sure, the news yesterday with, I think it is 12 schools in the Racine Unified School District with known COVID-19 cases, and that's with no students present. That's just with staff in the building. Begging the question, why is Superintendent Galleon forcing teachers to come into the building and teach when we are safer at home? You can see what has been going on in Kenosha with their school board voting a couple of days ago that there should be spectators and cheerleaders at the football game starting immediately. I have seen pictures on my social media timeline of, you know, families and parents very, very concerned, and rightfully so. And we are not seeing people who have the authority and obligation to take action to protect Wisconsinites. We are not seeing them take that action.
We're talking to Amy Mizialko, president of the Milwaukee Teachers Education Association, looking at calls from teachers unions around the state to close schools around the state, go all virtual as the COVID-19 numbers go up here in the state. Amy, critics of this might say, well, hold on. There's a big trade-off here. We know we're going to lose some in the quality of education for kids. Some kids are going to be left behind, especially if they don't have internet access or have special needs that are hard to meet online. What would you say to those concerns?
The safety of students, educators, and Wisconsinites is of first and foremost primary importance. My nephews are learning at home, and they certainly miss their peers and their, you know, regular face-to-face interaction at school. But until we have leadership, you know, Donald Trump has abdicated his leadership. So has Betsy DeVos. And so this rolls down to the state level. And so it's now time for Governor Evers and Andrea Palm to do what we elected them to do. This is the most basic entry level task, and it is their obligation to enact it. The Supreme Court decision in the spring did nothing to hamper Andrea Palm's authority to take action to protect the safety and well-being of Wisconsinites. I'm in addition to Kenosha and Racine, there are other examples. We know that the mayor of La Crosse has personally reached out to the president, imploring him not to come to Wisconsin because of the uncontained exponential spread of COVID-19. So everyone wants to be back in schools, in our classrooms, face-to-face with our students. But to do that and to get there, we have to take two steps back, tamp this down, get it under control, so that we can resume. But it's completely unsafe to do so now.
Amy, we'll leave it there. Thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you.
Amy Mizialko is the president of the Milwaukee Teachers Education Association. She joins us today to talk about teachers' unions across the state, calling on Department of Health Services Secretary-designee Andrea Palm to mandate that classes move entirely online as COVID-19 cases rise in the state.